And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You are listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
Coming at you with episode 134, Gigatron Side B. If it's your first time listening to this podcast, we are an all Pearl Jam podcast. Thanks for listening. Feels like we've gotten a few more listeners with the arrival of the new album. So hello to all of you. And yeah, all we do is talk about Pearl Jam or Pearl Jam related topics, but we have done 134 episodes now, so we do go off on some tangents. So sorry about any inside jokes that you might hear. Let's see. If you want to email the show, send us an email at singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You can say hey on the social media. And if you'd like to support the show, which, should we even be talking about that anymore right now? I guess so. I don't know. If you'd like to support the show.
I mean, we know that times are kind of lean right now, so we're not saying you have to support us.
Yeah,
if you can't, that's great. It's no big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of always our stance. If you're new to the show, we aren't too pushy about the Patreon thing. We appreciate anyone that would like to support. And if you would like to check that out, you can go to patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory, patreon.com. How you doing, man?
Good. Real good.
Real good. Are you rested?
Yes. Yeah.
So you said something about being off.
Yeah, I'm off work the next 2 weeks. Paid emergency sick leave is what they're calling it. I'm not sick. No one's sick.
Right.
But just because of what my wife went through with the surgery and the ongoing doctor's visits, they consider her a low risk for this virus, so they don't need me going out and getting it and bringing it home to her. So
right,
I'm off for 2 weeks and I am loving it.
That's great, man.
I keep seeing like memes and people are bored and they hate it. I'm like, dude, I'd stay home the rest of my life if I could.
Oh dude, I can't handle that. I will
not get bored. I've got plenty of movies to watch, so I'm down. I can listen to music. My daughter's here. We're playing cards. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. I've been having a lot of fun with Aiden and having Leslie. Like, yeah. We're just watching TV shows, and Leslie just goes to bed early. But now it's, it was weekend bedtime, which we let him stay up a little bit later last night. And he and I just played Minecraft, man. It was awesome.
Oh, cool.
Leslie went to bed.
I finally got one of those NES retros, the little Nintendo 8-bit.
Yeah, we got that. We have, do you know how many game systems we have? It's ridiculous.
It's Toys R Us over there.
One of the classic, what do we, Leslie got a Sega, like the old school Sega.
Oh wow,
I think that's what it is. That's what Sonic the Hedgehog came out on originally, right?
Yeah.
So she's got that because she loves Sonic. And we've got an original Nintendo, one of those little original Nintendo things. The Super NES retro thing. Then we've got a Nintendo Switch, which is fucking amazing. That's like one of my favorite game systems ever. It's so good. And then an Xbox One S, I think. So we've got like everything. And if I wanted to, I could get out of the closet my old PlayStation 3. Play some SSX Tricky, bitch. I might do that.
Okay. I don't even know what that is.
You don't understand half of what I just said, do you?
No. Yeah. No.
I'm a nerd, man. I love it.
The last game system I had that I played was Nintendo 64.
That's awesome.
I did have a PS2, but I only played one game. Do you know what it was? I'm sure I told you this before. Guitar Hero.
Oh, man, I bet you slayed.
Oh, dude, I was so good.
Man, it's been fun because, you know, we're around each other all the time. And so he goes, have we already talked about this? He goes into his room on his desktop computer and puts his headset with the microphone on. And he shuts his door and I go into the living room and put a headset on. And we log into the same Minecraft world that we were building together. Right. And it's like you're still hanging out and keeping each other from being bored, but you're not in each other's face. And the cool thing is that after about 10 minutes, it's almost he forgets that I'm his parent or something, but
right,
the conversation gets really lax. And we've had some of the best conversations we've had in a while playing Minecraft down the hall from each other, which sounds so weird.
It's been pretty cool, a little bit, but I get it too.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do that all the time if we weren't under quarantine. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a nice way to, I don't know, because he wants to hang out all the time. He's bored. Anyway.
We went out and got groceries yesterday for like 10 days.
Yeah.
Which we never do that, you know?
Right.
Because this house is so small and there's not a lot of room anyway. So I spent like half an hour rearranging the fridge and the freezer to get everything in there.
Yeah.
So,
man.
Yeah, it's weird. It's interesting, weird times.
Yeah. There's a lot to think about while you're sitting around. I think it's good. It's been good for me. I mean, that sounds like a weird thing to say. I don't mean the coronavirus. I'm so glad it happened because I've gotten time to do X, Y, and Z. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying if you're going to be in this situation and you want to find something positive and productive with your time, because I'll spin out if not. I'll think about it way too much if I don't keep myself kind of moving on some level, you know?
Yeah. No, I've got plans. Like I want to clean out the studio, you know, just the living room. This room, the studio room, is just a total mess. And it's like, I just feel like now I've got time to tackle all this stuff.
Yeah.
My wife has, dude, she's got so many clothes. It's insane.
Yeah.
And it's like, we always talk about like, we need to go through your clothes and just, you know, put them in garbage bags and take them to Goodwill. She's like, I know.
Burn them.
I know. But yeah, burn them or that.
Well,
but we're doing it now. Now we're doing it. I'm cracking that whip.
Yeah, bud. Crack that whip.
There's shoes. She's got shoes everywhere. And I'm like, you don't wear any of this ever.
Well,
anyway,
after that stimulating conversation, let's get into some emails.
Is this
how about
interesting?
It?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, who we got first?
Gigi.
Gigi!
Our buddy. Hello, Brads. It's Gigi here from Barcelona. It's been a while since I wrote last time, but I'm always listening. I loved so much the first part of Gigaton, and I'm glad you are both enjoying it as I do. I couldn't resist to write because since I heard whoever said, I'm totally mind blown about the structure they created, and particularly about the key of the song. I hope Lions can bring some light to me, so please correct me if I'm wrong. The song, after the intro, starts in E major. Basically, this is the key they chose, but in the second verse, they add some chord that is out of scale, and it makes it sound aggressive. I'm not sure, but I'd say that technically they go into E minor. But the crazy part for me comes at the bridge, one of the nicest parts of the album, by the way. They totally change to B minor. Yes, another weird addition. And then Eddie starts singing, and when he goes a little bit louder, keeping the melody on the vocals, the instruments go to E again. So there are one or two phrases that Eddie still sings the bridge part, but the band has to come back to the verse structure. I hope it makes sense what I say. It's just crazy for me as an amateur songwriter. I mean, I know it's not rare changing keys in the middle of a song, but I really think they have a talent on that and make it so natural. This is it. I hope you're fine and keep calm about the virus stuff. I've been 20 days in quarantine and they say we'll be 1 or 2 months more. Hasta luego.
Hot damn, man. Well, sorry about that.
3 weeks. 3 weeks with a month or two to go.
Yeah.
Man.
Hope.
But that's Italy, right? Barcelona?
That's Spain.
Spain? Sorry.
You should be. Now, supposedly it's not so great in Spain right now. So hope.
Yeah.
Hope Gigi and all his people, his family and friends are okay and staying safe.
Totally.
As far as the song, yeah, it's cool that you noticed that stuff. I haven't figured the song out yet, but I would imagine kind of what you're hearing is, I don't know, in rock and roll a lot of times, I'm probably going to butcher this explanation, but actually Alive is a good example of this. So for example, the guitar solo section is E major to G to D to A major, right? But Mike plays the lead as if he's just playing over E minor, right? Does that make sense? Even though E major, sure. It's like a blues thing. So they do a lot of this relative minor blues changes, right? So maybe the verse, the E chord that's in the verse might be an E major. But then you go to a G chord, a G major, and those aren't in the same key together. They're not, you're taking the relative minor of the G chord and making it major, even if all the other chords, but then the A isn't in the key of G or E minor either, which is what Mike's playing on top of all that stuff. So they throw these different kind of relative chords, is my dumb way of saying it, that kind of fit without it being too pronounced, like a 80s ballad key change. You know what I mean? Like you're slowly kind of going in and out of these kind of relative chords that don't totally match an overall key for the song. God, that's, I know it doesn't make sense to you, but hopefully.
It's all, that's like so over my head. But I imagine people that do know what you and Gigi are talking about, I'm sure they're understanding what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. They're good at, he's right. It's a good observation. They're good at that stuff. Kind of sneaking chords in.
Great.
Cool. Thanks, Gigi. Stay safe.
Yeah, just like the song.
I love that. Oh man. I wish I could do that. I just like it. We got Todd next. He says, "Hey Brads, wanted to drop a line and tell you guys what a great job you do." Thanks, man. "As a mailman, I have 6.5 hours in the street by myself, and you guys make my Mondays go by so smooth. Only problem is I want more Brads."
Yeah.
"Also, I can't believe Brad B didn't bring up the fact that Bill Simmons channeled his inner Brad B and called the album Gigatron at the very end of the episode."
Yeah, I totally forgot.
"I hope you caught that. And what a great episode it was. Just makes you realize how freaking awesome it would be to hang with the boys from Pearl Jam. Anyways, thanks for the awesome pod and keep doing what you do. Mailman Todd." Thanks, Mailman Todd.
Yeah, dude. That I totally forgot to talk about it last week, but it was... have you listened to it yet?
No, I still haven't listened to it.
He says it's after the show is over. He's just like, "All right, well, thanks to... you know, Eddie and Jeff are coming on and get the new album Gigatron, you know, out this week." He just said it like
it was, he didn't normal.
Even reel it. Yeah. It and they didn't edit it or anything. It was pretty funny.
That's so funny, man.
I was dying. But
Gigatron. It's really that he listens to this podcast, but he can't say it out loud. So that was his little...
Yeah, that's what it is.
He sent a little flare up to us, you know?
Yeah. His little wink, wink.
A little wink, wink, nod, nod.
I little click, highly click. Doubt it.
All right. But, what you got next?
Bob Remington. "Hey, guys. Great work on the side one of Gigaton episode this week. Like you both, I love this album. Could be the timing with the world situation, could be the distance between Gigaton and Lightning Bolt, but this one has hit me perfectly. In fact, I'm not afraid to label this one a top three album."
Ooh, dang.
"Yeah. I've listened to this beginning to end with no skips several times. It flows so well from beginning to end. Looking forward to hearing your Side 2 episode this week, where you'll no doubt cover what may be my favorite new tune, Take the Long Way. Matt Cameron is out of this world on this one. Also looking forward to you potentially discussing the Bill Simmons podcast with Ed and Jeff, where I think Ed lights at least 12 cigarettes in a two-hour conversation. Stay safe and take care of yourselves. Peace. Bob Remington.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
Man, it's definitely, I'm not there yet to know where it sits in my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But it, well, we'll talk about Side 2.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. I don't think I'd go top 3, but it's definitely, it's up there. I like this album a lot.
Yeah. Could I go top three on this? I don't think I could go top three yet.
I mean, No Code 10 and Yield.
Yeah, for me, it's No Code, Vitology, and Yield.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I couldn't say it's better than any of those four.
I'm going to think about it a little bit. Okay. Yeah, and thanks. So, Matt Cameron is so fucking good on this record.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I love it. Yeah, Eddie likes them smokes, man.
Oh, yeah. It was funny.
I wonder how often he really smokes.
I was driving, and I kept hearing this clicking. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then I realized, oh, that sounds like a Zippo. And it was Ed lighting up.
Old Ed. I wonder what he smokes. Smokes them American Spirits, I bet.
I think he does.
Yeah, I think the yellows. That's what I used to smoke. Not because of Eddie, but...
Because of him? Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You dyed your hair black.
Yeah.
And you smoked the yellow Indians. And you have a scissor tattoo.
That's me.
Or whatever that is.
Oh, we got Clay Davis next.
Shit.
I need to make like a stinger for that every time he writes in.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, dude, somebody got a little drop heavy last week. I was laughing every time you drop something in, especially the Michael stuff.
Yeah, I was a little bit proud of that one. I'm not going to lie.
That was good. Yeah. Michael, I didn't know what it was at first. It was one of those like, I recognize this, but what is this? But then like the third or fourth one, I'm like, oh my God, of course.
Yeah, throwing a little Arrested Development love in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great.
I can't even remember what I did that, and I dropped something else. I dropped a 90s. Oh, I dropped an Usher song.
Yeah. Yeah,
take
some kind of love
nice
song.
Take it nice and slow. Because I was like, we're going to take it real slow.
Yeah.
And I slapped you with some Usher.
There had to be more than that, too. Well, you dropped in the... the two Brad B's Words of Wisdom, Pearls of Wisdom, and then the Real World True Story.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So yeah, that was a fun one to listen to.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a Clay Davis stinger. All right, let's see here. Clay says, "Brads, the more I listen to Comes and Goes, the better it gets. That said, I need your musical ears. There's a guitar riff or tone that feels like it could almost be like a sample lifted from that song." He's referring to Flutter Girl. This is a tribute, if you will. "I know this feels like one of many Chris Cornell tributes on Gigaton. Superblood, the other in my mind. But do you guys hear this? Lions, could you do a mashup? Hope you and yours are staying healthy. Peace. Governor Clay Davis." Shit. P.S. Lots of R.E.M. feels on this album. Yeah, I can hear that too. I actually hadn't thought about that until I read your email, Clay. Yeah, well, here, I didn't do like a mashup, but I think I know what he's talking about. I'm not sure the moment maybe he's talking about, but let's see here. Here's a little bit of Flutter Girl.
Tears not stay away.
I think what he's probably hearing is that the verses, it's on this song, there's two stereo acoustics, right? So one on each speaker, kind of panned hard right and left, instead of just one acoustic guitar, maybe straight down the middle or something. And that's the same thing that's going on in Comes and Goes. He's got these two huge sounding doubled acoustics on each side.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in that context, it's just Eddie's voice and the acoustic guitar with a couple little harmonies or whatever. But both of those songs hang, I don't know if it's the same chord. I'd have to listen to, we're going to listen to it in a little bit, but they both hang on one chord for a long time. Right? Like the vocals aren't kind of floating on top of like a four chord change or something. It's pretty much just hanging on that one chord until they go into the next section. And they both feel kind of the same way. I don't know if that's what he was talking about, but that's what I heard.
I hear it. I wasn't familiar with Flutter Girl, but just listening to it right there, I totally get it. What he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good song. I hadn't listened to that stuff in a while. I might go through another little Chris Cornell solo phase.
Yeah.
Here after hearing that song again. Thanks, Clay. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Chris Thomas.
Yeah.
Hi, Brad and Brad. Why can't I ever think of the header? What do you call it?
Subject?
Subject. Subject, Gigaton, first impressions. I'm still floored by how myself and several other 10 Club members received our pre-sale orders. My hopes is that everyone at 10 Club are safe, and I cannot thank them enough for doing whatever they needed to or in order to fulfill several orders. Some people got them kind of early.
Yeah.
And some people didn't get them on time, unfortunately. I received my copy the morning of the official release date and immediately put on the turntable. The first four songs were already familiar to me since they released them before the 27th. The rest of the record was a different sounding band to me. My first impressions, especially of the last four tracks, were that they seemed to drag a little. Just like a fine wine, I knew that I needed to let this breathe a while before making judgment on the album as a whole. I echo Brad L's sentiment about social media and how some individuals will be negative either because they truly feel that way or even more irritatingly, that's a word, I just Googled it, even more irritatingly are just trolling to get a reaction. I don't have a Facebook account anymore, but still saw plenty of shade being thrown on the 10 Club forum. This is why I am so glad I found you guys. I knew experiencing this record through your ears would give me more appreciation for songs that didn't stick with me through the first few listens. I've been listening to the record with the liner notes in my lap more often than not, but until I heard you guys break down All Right and 7 O'Clock, I was really not able to appreciate the incredible sound of All Right and the powerful lyric of 7 O'Clock. I'm excited to hear your take on the second half of the track list, because I'm really curious to know how you to know your take on the last four tracks, which are starting to grow on me more and more. Forced to endure what I could not forgive. Chris.
Yeah, man. Well, we're going to answer your question with listening to the whole back half of the record.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll hold off on answering some of those questions right now.
It's interesting, though. Like, I kind of get what he's saying about like the first four songs were familiar and we liked them, and then the rest of the record kind of dragged and it took some time to get more into it. And that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, when I first heard it, I had the same reaction. Like, the first half is pretty good. And then I started getting like, this is kind of like Lightning Bolt, where I don't like the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like 2 weeks later, sitting here, I'm like, I got a whole new
perspective on
view.
Yeah,
perspective on this, on these songs, which we're gonna get into here in a little bit.
Yeah, man.
But
thanks, anyway. Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
One more. We got Ron
one
Riley.
More.
All right, Ron sent us two emails. One is kind of a first gut reaction, and then the second email is kind of, you know, after a little bit of time coming back to it again. from what I understand. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So, dearest law offices of Bradley and Bradley Incorporated. Hey, guys. Second time emailer here. I may or may not have had an extra week to listen to this heavy, not at all spritzy frickin' album we call Gigaton. Needless to say, folks on the boards can be so negative, so I was eagerly awaiting your first blush review on the pod. Well, now I'm perfectly teed up. I started the Side A Review podcast this morning, and I was getting ready for work. I hit pause and headed off to work right as you guys were a minute or two into whoever said. So tonight, as I lay three down to sleep, I get to hear you guys actually talk about the freaking bomb motherfucking music we got in the first half of this gigatronic ear boner delight of an album. I'm freaking excited. I can tell. I love it.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
That was one of the best.
Gigatronic ear boner.
That's one of the best sentences that's ever been written to us. In case you missed that, he says, I get to hear you guys actually talk about the friggin' bomb motherfucking music we got in the first half of this gigatronic ear boner delight of an album. Ah, that was good. You guys have mentioned things so far that have me psyched about the album as well. I wonder if you guys will talk about Lost Dogs 2 or the insinuation of another 2020 release from our favorite band. So then we're going to move on to his kind of follow-up email. He says, Brad's a quick follow-up after listening to the entirety of the Gigaton Side A podcast regarding Leaves a Lot to Ignore. I believe he says ignore in the first chorus, then endure in the second chorus. Yeah, that might make more sense, actually. That sounds like an Eddie move.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's saying we probably got other people. We did. We got a few people correcting us on that.
That it's one the first time and the other the second time?
Right.
Okay, because, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see here. You probably received a bunch of emails on that, but I figured I'd share what I've been hearing all along. Additionally, regarding all the pump fakes and atmosphere between songs and parts of songs, I thought Blazek was going to say it, but when 7 o'clock begins, my first thought is that it's an extended jam placed on the end of All Right. It's not until Ed's getting ready to sing that I recognize there's actual new song beginning. That was my experience the first couple listens, anyhow. Last but not least, my history with the release of new material. If I like it the first listen, it's not going to endure the test of time. When I first started listening, I only had time to go through snippets of each song to see if anything really caught my attention. Later, with proper time, I listened all the way through with proper headphones. I still loved Super Blood Wolf Moon and Dance, but I wasn't so sure I even liked the rest. This is the case with Vitology, No Code, and Riot Act for me. And those three are always fighting yield for my top spot honors. Now I'm still struggling with Side B of Gigaton, but needless to say, the rest of the Side A has absolutely grown on me. I can almost listen to that side and think of it as a rock opera of sorts. It tells me an almost complete story. I can't wait to hear some discussion about comes and goes. I'm not sure what Ed is trying to say about the obvious elephant in the room on this track, and can't make heads or tails of the verse regarding falling from the altar. I definitely think the lyrics are handled in somewhat delicate dancing around the subject style, which is brilliant because it's not locked into being a timepiece. The song can be enjoyed forever. Not just by people who care about Ed, Chris Cornell, Susan Silver, Lily, Pearl Jam, Vicky, the Moen-Law, etc. And speaking of enjoy, I love this song. Brilliant performance from just a couple takes. I didn't think Ed has this kind of acoustic guitar playing in his bag of tricks. Thanks to Josh Evans for capturing that beautiful sound. That's it for now, guys. Still loving the show. Keep up the hard work. Ron Size.
And loving.
What's that?
And loving.
And loving.
You said still living the show.
I'm sorry. I'm still loving the show. Good. Keep up the hard work. Ron Size in Grover Beach, California.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron.
Love it. Thanks, Ron. Well, let's fucking do it, man. Let's get into side two or side B or whatever.
All right.
The back half.
Yeah. Side two and a half, one and a half.
Yeah.
It's funny because we keep saying side one or side A and side B, but the vinyl.
Yeah, it's in four.
Actually got three. Yeah, but the fourth side doesn't have anything on it, so it's three. It's like three sides.
Oh, I gotcha. Interesting.
But you know what's interesting, doing the podcast this way, it almost feels like two separate like EPs, because the first how many we covered last week? Six songs.
Yeah, six and six
sound kind of different than the next six songs.
Yeah, well, that's kind of one of the reasons why I guess called it side A and side B, is just because I'm thinking more of a basic old school, like when people made records, it was just one record,
right.
You know, a side A and a side B. And there is a way to, I think we've talked about this before, but not just tell a story with each side, but it also came down to logistics, like, you know, songs with the most instrumentation or most going on or the loudest or whatever need to be towards the outside of the actual platter, because you lose the way it spins into the center. That's why a lot of times the last song on a side will just be like, you know, just an acoustic vocal type stripped down kind of simple number. And then the next side, you flip it over and it usually hits you with something big at the top, you know? Which I think in a loose way, they probably kind of still use that paradigm to kind of do running orders. They release a 12 song thing, but I think they think about it in sides. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since they're such vinyl nerds.
Totally. And I don't know if I told you, I am now a vinyl nerd.
Yeah, you told me. It's awesome.
I got a turntable
last
week, and that's like, I'm obsessed with getting records now.
Yeah. It's so much fun, man.
It is. It really is.
It's like getting a new toy or something, like when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, it's funny too, because it's like, now I'm like, I'm looking for things to do so I can listen to records, you know?
Oh, right.
My wife,
so you just
loves
put
it,
them on.
I'm like, I'll go do the dishes. Like, I'll never do the dishes, but I'm like, I need something to do so I can listen to Gigaton on vinyl.
Dude, I do the same thing. When it's time to clean, I turn on the turntable and pick a record and just crank it and vacuum and dust and, you know, do whatever it is we need to do that day. But
yeah,
I
think it was 1989 from Taylor Swift for Amanda. And she was, I guess she listened to it while I was at work, and she was like, are there any records that the whole thing is on side one?
Oh boy.
She was so annoyed that she had to flip the record over.
Oh my God. Different generation, huh?
Yeah.
You mean I have to like pick it up and flip it over?
Yeah. She asked me, can you pause it?
No, that's the beauty of it. You have to sit and listen. So what's you want to maybe just start with real general feelings about the second half of the record?
Sure.
What you got? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. Thumbs way up.
Okay, cool.
I think I like the first half more. Those six songs versus the second half six songs. I probably like the first half a little more because I love Superblood so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And 7 o'clock is just fucking, I mean, it's so good. But, I mean, well, I don't know. I'll just say I'd like these songs a lot, except for one. There's one song I really don't like.
Okay. I think I can, I'm not going to say anything, but I think I can guess what it is, and we have not talked about it.
Okay. Right. We haven't talked about it. But yeah, I mean, I like the second side a lot. So
I'll just try and make it simple for me, which is I love this whole record. Now that I've only sat down, with the exception of a couple of my favorites on side A or the first half, I tried to, after we got done with the last pod, I tried to this week only listen to the second half. And I love it just as much as the first half. It's just that I feel like the songwriting is so strong on side B, on the back half. Mm. Whereas, and that doesn't mean that the songwriting isn't strong on the first half. But to me, it's its own thing. Was it you that was just saying a minute ago, like almost like it's like two EPs?
Yeah. They both have a kind of a separate flavor from each other.
Right.
The six and six.
Like you don't have
like the first half is kind of like more like new, really different sounding Pearl Jam. And then the second half, some of the songs are, I could see them being on like Lightning Bolt. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
but they're not as like weird and crazy different like the first half.
For sure. But I almost can't say that I like one side better than the other because they're different enough. Like I feel like the first half of the record, if you're someone that doesn't listen to lyrics, you're going to be fine. You don't have to listen to all the lyrics and really dive in to enjoy those songs. The melodies are great. The rock shit's great. The experimental stuff like dance is great. But you don't have to have the lyrics. But if you're not a lyrics person on the second half, I feel like you're going to not love the second half as much.
Yeah, you might get, yeah.
Because
you might get kind of bored.
It's the lyrics and the arrangement and the willingness to not do the typical Pearl Jam thing as far as dynamics and arrangements. I don't know. I guess we should just get into it.
Yeah. All right.
You want to do it? Listen to some Never Destination.
Yes. Yeah.
Eddie Vedder, songwriter. Yes. I love that lyric. Mm. Just that simple, never destination, just more denial.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to...
I like that it's... This is just a straight up, you know, Pearl Jam rock song, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also, on this side of the record, it's a little bit more obvious to me, like guessing who wrote what.
Yeah.
That's a fun game to play.
Interesting. That's an interesting thing about these six songs in particular are almost all different songwriters. Like this is Ed.
It's not as collaborative as the first half.
We've got a Matt song, we've got a Stone song, and we got a Mike song.
Yeah.
And then this.
Classic Mike.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's just jamming.
Yeah.
Makes us alive. Should we slow down?
I love that really long feedback on that delay from that that last word of that phrase just kept echoing out through the break. I love that line too. The say see you later, never say goodbye. This is a little trick I play in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great fucking line.
This whole song lyrically is just incredible. Because this whole album, but this song in particular is like written for the times we are in right now.
Yeah.
I really think this is another, because we talked about it on the first side, but this song seems like a real, you know, protest song against the president and the administration without ever naming him.
Yeah, but I also think I think you're totally right. I also think that it's presented with a bigger picture as far as just being against maybe certain ideologies. Like, I think it's also a bigger picture kind of philosophical lyric. Does that make sense?
Totally.
'Cause it's actually a very simple lyric. Like, I mean, it's got great lines in it and stuff, but... Or maybe it's the music that, for me, it doesn't jump out of the speakers as being a deep song. You have to look at the lyric. Everything's going by so fast. It's very rhythmic, a lot of words, you know, phrasing.
Yeah. And that's another thing. The way he's singing those melodies, you know, it's that real kind of like rapid fire delivery. I love it.
Yeah.
This is one I want to see live real bad.
Well, and that's the thing too, just for all you other possible engineers or just music nerds or whatever. This is a good example from a Josh Evans standpoint. I want to say his name as much as possible because I love what he brought, what his piece to this whole puzzle was. I think he was perfect for this record. This record wouldn't have happened without that combination, I don't think. But this is an example of old school Pearl Jam recording together. That was definitely like a built from a live take. You know what I'm saying? More straight ahead. There's not much else going on in the song from a production standpoint.
Right.
There's not a lot of like sound design-y type stuff going on. It's just, in a good way, it's just straight ahead, simple. Two guitars, bass, drums, for the most part, and vocal, you know? Whereas you get into some of the songs on this record, and there's a lot of layering going on in a great, great, beautiful way, but...
Yeah. Well, and again, that's classic Eddie writing. A lot of his songs are very simple musically.
Yeah. And interesting.
Yeah, totally.
We were kind of talking, but... like the bridge, that was another great bridge. I love that bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and again, you talk about phrasing and melody joining together in a really cool and interesting way. When they go into that bridge, and he does the, she was a singer in a rock and roll band, had command of all her voice. You know, that whole everything lightens up so immediately and beautifully.
Yeah,
you know, and not the song is dark. Sounding, it's a very kind of pop rock kind of thing, but it becomes very airy in that bridge there, and then they get back into it. Fucking classic.
And it just goes back to what we talked about last week. These songs have like weird structures to them. I mean, again, there's a point in this song where they're just kind of jamming.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, it happens a couple times inside the first half too.
Right.
All right, so let's do Take the Long Way. How about that? A little Matt. I mean, talk about being able to guess songwriters.
Right.
I mean, it was the first thing. 2 seconds. I was like, oh, this is a Matt song.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe that's in 7 for any drummers that are nerds.
Right here. I love that. I love that snare.
Oh, yeah, just dude.
Hitting that snare note after note.
Yep. I love, too, that I feel like even without music, I feel like, okay, so a song like this, it's like a riff, an odd time signature, 9 times out of 10, you're right, guessing Matt. Spacey, really trippy lyrics, usually Jeff. Not that Eddie doesn't do the same thing, but I feel like Jeff goes a little trippier sometimes. Not all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He's real, like, into taking words that sound interesting and putting them together.
Right.
Even if they don't go together normally.
Stone is a great lyricist. Some of my favorite lyrics come from Stone lyrics. Like, songs like Fatal or... I don't know, but with Matt, he can write stuff that... Like, I feel like this section, plant a seed in your mind, what's yours is mine, show me how to live divine, what's yours is mine. Like, that whole thing, that could have been Eddie. That sounds like an Eddie lyric. And the point of that is that this is a talented group of motherfuckers. Like, Eddie's not the only great lyricist in this band. He might be my favorite, but... they're all really fucking good, man. And have their own voice as lyricists, you know?
I'd love to hear the demo of this with Matt singing on it.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Because this sounds like something straight off of his solo album.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you gotta turn this up. Yeah, we talked over Mike's solo on this song is fucking incredible.
They're all great.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We on just, this we record, just talked
over it. Love it. That's, you know, I don't want to say classic Pearl Jam, but you know me, I like the more rock stuff, the heavier stuff. And these last two songs just like scratch that itch.
And talk about experiencing, giving yourself time to experience a record. That song was actually probably my least favorite song on my first couple listens through that I thought might be a skipper. But just in the last 3 days, I've not a skipper. That's a little harsh. I don't know. I felt like with so many new things on this record, texturally and sound-wise and songwriting and experimentation, it just at the first listen, it just felt like, okay, well, I've kind of heard this before.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was the same way.
And now I love it. But
just, you know. That's so I'm kind of glad we talked about it last week that we were going to give us time to listen to these songs because I was kind of like I said that my first listen I was like, oh, it's kind of like Lightning Bolt. Like, I don't like the second half. But now I'm like, I'm in. I love these two songs.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's my guess for Brad B's dislike on this record. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. With Buckle Up?
Yeah.
Dude, I'll just tell you this. This song, I'm having a hard time picking my absolute favorite song on the album.
Yeah.
But this is up for it.
What?
Totally.
For real?
I fucking love Buckle Up so much.
Dude, I hated it the first time I heard it. I was like, oh, really? No. I love it. I love it so much.
It's so fucking weird and different, and the beautiful. Lyrics are like, whoa. Yeah. No, dude, I love it.
Oh,
I love
that makes me so happy.
Yeah. It's just, I loved it the first time I heard it because I was like, you know, the classic, is it Victrola? The dog with his ear like up in the air. That's how I felt when I heard this. I was like, oh, what's this? You know what I
Interesting,
mean?
Interesting, yeah.
And then I listened to it a few more times and I'm reading the lyrics and I'm like, holy Ooh. Shit, what is this?
It's so good. Well done, Stone.
Yeah, it's so weird and different.
Let's listen to it.
Okay. Gladly.
I don't want to talk. I just want to listen to it.
No, I love it.
I love this lyric, man.
What is that's like a wood block? What is that percussion? That clock, clock, clock.
Yeah, some sort of tuned block back in the background.
Yeah.
With a lot of verb on it.
When I first read the lyrics, I mean, it sounds like he's talking about a serial killer or something. Oh, this Man, part?
Yeah, I love it. That fucking saxophone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just
so good.
It's so cool. They just like threw in all this weird stuff. That, like I said, that wood block that just comes out of nowhere and it's only in there at certain points. And then that, bah, 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 like,
yeah.
And there's some kind of weird keyboard or something going on.
There's a lot of weird shit going on. Yeah. A lot of reverse stuff. Just,
yeah. Buckle up.
Yeah, dude, I don't even know. I mean, that's just one of my favorites on this record. I can't believe
it's
it.
It's so cool. I do. I like it so much. It's so, like, not upbeat, but there is a lightness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, I don't know, contrast that with the lyrics are super dark.
Yeah.
Well, whatever he's talking about.
Right.
I mean, I know I've read that he's talking about, it's about, like, people dying and the relationship of children, parents, and being in a hospital and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he's written it, it's like, it looks like it could be about like a serial killer or, you know, mass murder or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, giving them like some sort of innocence. I don't know. It's too early to like break this song down to what he's trying to say, but I think it's such a cool song.
Well, I just, something about the, all those heavy verse lyrics, and then it all gets kind of buttoned up with firstly, do no harm, and then put your seatbelt on. Mm-hmm. It's so mm-hmm. good. Yeah. Okay. So Stone knocked it out of the park with Buckle Up.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got some E. Vedder coming at you. Comes and goes. Okay, what do you feel about this song now that I don't know which song you don't like?
I don't love it, but I don't hate it at all. I think it's a really cool Eddie solo song. It's kind of weird that it's on this album because it totally is. It's just Eddie and a guitar. And it feels like a demo to me because it just kind of goes on and on and on. And it's basically that same like riff that I guess it's kind of like a hook.
A demo? A demo?
Yeah. I mean, what's the, like Dead Man.
Okay, so just so you know, this might be my vote for, like, I can't make the call right now, but this is going to be in the best definitely song. The top three songs of this fucking record.
Right. Yeah.
Which is fine that you don't feel
it's
that
grown,
way.
It's grown on me since 2 weeks ago. When did this come out? Just a week ago?
I don't know.
Friday?
I don't know.
It's grown on me since it's come out. I'll give you that.
All right.
It meanders.
Oh. Oh, man. I wasn't prepared for this, man. I thought for sure Buckle Up was your dislike.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to say right now without sounding like a judgy little prick. Because that's not how I roll, but I don't understand.
No, dude, I do like it. I do like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't like, I don't know. It's just weird. It just doesn't fit so much because it's just Ed, you know?
Yeah, I'm normally not, there's times, when I can't think of examples right now, where I kind of go, man, maybe leave those songs, Ed, for your solo work and not with Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. Maybe when you're, but this one is, I couldn't imagine this record as far as an arrangement of songs, or it just, to me, it needs this song real bad. Coming out of Buckle Up into that and then going into Retrograde. But let's listen to it. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Starts out cool. It's a cool intro.
Yeah.
High or low, where'd you go? Are you stuck in the middle? A spectral, invisible ghost. I'm here juxtaposed, like images of angels in the snow. Our courage melts away, it comes and goes. Where you been? find a glimpse of my friend. Don't know where or when one of us.
That part is cool.
A little walk down on the guitar.
Yeah, but like, okay, that's all good. But then it like, it just he just keeps playing that over and over and over and over. Like it doesn't go anywhere. And again, I'm not saying I hate it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice song. It's you know, it's whatever. But it's not my favorite. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear you. I get that.
But if you want to get into the lyrics, holy shit, the lyrics are insane. They're so, I mean, I don't know Eddie, and I can't get in his head, but this seems like 100% written about Chris.
Well, he's got to be in there somewhere. I think.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Eddie, I don't know, we have some historical perspective on this kind of thing with Kurt dying, and
yeah,
he was always so afraid of, I guess, kind of proclaiming what could have been about Kurt and whatnot, because he didn't want to be seen as kind of taking advantage of the situation for his own gain.
Right.
To put it simply, I guess. I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but I think that with Chris, it would be the same thing, because they actually were really good friends. You know, Kurt and Eddie never really got to be great buds. They were cool by the end, but they weren't like all hanging out all the time together or something. Whereas I feel like there was a real ongoing relationship with Chris. And I think that he's just going to be in random. He's in a lot of these songs, but maybe the song's not about him, if that makes sense.
Right.
I just feel like he lives, Chris, you know, Chris Cornell lives pretty heavily on this song, I would imagine, in some of these lyrics.
Yeah. And when you look at it with that in mind, it's like, it's almost like crushing.
Yeah.
High or low, try again. She fell off the altar of vision. You caught her, but then a wood cut in red. I wish it was not you that she had led. Selfish navigation with no end. Where'd you sleep? Can I find?
I don't know, dude. The more I listen to it, I do like this song.
Yeah, I think you're gonna feel differently in like a week.
Yeah. I mean, I know we've talked about one of the things I like about this whole album is that they do play with song structure and, you know, kind of trying to not be the same as everything else.
Right.
And this, to me, that's what this song suffers from, that there is no structure. He's just playing the verse over and over and over and over.
Yeah. Well,
but again, the more I listen to it, I'm like, well, that's fine too. He's trying to say something, and he's got a lot to say.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had a lot to get out there after 7 years with no record.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the emotion in his voice, too, really comes across here.
Well, that's some of the best-sounding stereo acoustic guitar sounds I've heard in a long time. Like, now after this song, I know I talked about it last week, but this record has inspired me from an engineer perspective. Like, I want to nail some fucking drum sounds like there are on this record. I want to figure that out. And then the other thing is just, it sounds like the simplest thing you could record, but it's so hard to record singers playing acoustic guitar at the same time because there's so much. If you don't know what you're doing with miking and placement and direction of the mics that you're using, there's so much bleed. Like sometimes you can end up with more acoustic guitar in the vocal mic. It's almost like they're swapped.
Yeah.
But this, especially since he, unless maybe it was a live thing and Mike was playing one of the guitars, which I seriously doubt, I think Eddie played the song and then overdubbed a second acoustic on it with a couple of harmonies. And you can hear some, it's really tucked, but as the song goes along toward the end there, they've taken some really washy electric guitars underneath everything and slowly, if you listen to it with headphones on, you can hear it slowly start creeping in.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that.
And it helps, without you realizing it, it helps feel like it gets bigger and bigger as the song goes along, you know? So a lot of cool, like, production little nuggets and tricks in there, too, with what sounds like a really simple song.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely don't skip it.
Right. Yeah, I love it. Now, the next song, the second it starts, and especially with lyrics, you're like, Mike, that's Mike's song.
Yes.
Right totally. Away. How do you feel about this song?
Again, I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Okay.
Of the 11 songs that I like, this is the weakest one.
Okay. What is it to you that makes it weak?
It
just doesn't grab you yet?
It just doesn't grab me, no. Until the end. The very end is like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It kind of turns into a different song at the end.
It's true. Yeah, it definitely fits in the mic.
And you know what? Another thing that I've noticed on a lot of these songs is, we talked about it more last week, but the synth is a big part of this album.
Yeah.
And I think without the synth on this song, I would like it even less. There's something about, there's like the synth sound that comes in kind of early on, makes it more interesting.
I hear you.
Makes the song itself more interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely a song that I think this one I would have given like a 5 out of 10 on my first listen. And now it hasn't moved up to a 10 out of 10, but it's definitely like moved up to a 7 or 8 out of 10. I do think it's one of those that you have to sit with. It doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So
it's a good one to sit down with lyrics and kind of, I don't know, and think about the fact that Mike was the one. This all came out of Mike's brain, you know?
Right.
Let's listen to Retrograde. And right there is when you know it's Mike. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Comes the summer rain. Up you the lightning and fire up thunder again. Projected through the clouds. In meditations lifting out in the south.
Cool melody.
See, this like reminds me of like Lightning Bolt.
Yeah, totally.
This could totally have been on Lightning Bolt.
Absolutely.
And I think they even said this was one of the first songs they worked on, which means it could have been left over from then.
It's true.
Yeah, that right there. That synth in the background. So I don't know why. That
80s
just,
synth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is straight up Lightning Bolt. You're right.
Yeah, I, even just now listening to it, it's just, I don't know. I want to like it because I've heard a lot of people online talking about how it's the best song on the album and they love it. And I'm just like, I just don't.
No,
it doesn't hit me like that.
Yeah, definitely not my favorite song on the record, but it is a great song. I think that's the hard thing, like with so much quote unquote experimentation, which is really just synths and dance,
mm-hmm.
and a new producer, I guess. But some of these great songs, I think at first listen can get lost because they are reminiscent of, you know, something like Lightning Bolt or something like that. It's hard to compete with some of these songs, you know. Some of these songs are so fucking right. good and cool.
Yeah. Yeah, this shit here though is like, oh man, I'm floating in the clouds and
yeah,
spacey. I like it.
Pass the psilocybin, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Now it's like even if you don't love the first part of the, you know, up until this point, I feel like it's mm-hmm. worth it once you get to this point yeah. of the song. You know.
Yeah, it's a real subtle change. But it goes into this stuff, and it's I guess it's because the drums, like he's doing all these rolls and stuff, and
yeah.
Ed's just doing that layered vocalizing thing.
We haven't heard this much reverb on a Pearl Jam record since 10.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I won't skip that song, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think there's, you know, we definitely don't hate the song. It's not our favorite either. So
right.
Let's talk right. about River so you're Cross.
Kinda,
oh God, no! Oh no, Brad! Not this one,
dude.
Oh no.
I can't even with the song. I do not like this song.
Oh my God.
I can't. I almost don't even want you to play it.
Oh, Brad. Oh, Brad. Brad, 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 Brad.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
This song has made me too. Shed a tear.
Yeah.
So we
Star
are.
Do.
We are opposite ends of this really? Spectrum.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, well,
I
don't, why?
I just, I Do don't you know like why? It. I don't know. The drums. Hold on a second. What's up? Oh, what's the matter? There's a wasp in. Yeah, and the dogs are going crazy. Do I need to come and get it? All right, can we go on hold for a second?
Yeah.
Why don't you listen to River Cross while I go kill this wasp?
Oh, my God, dude. I'm dying over here.
I'm sorry. I'll be right back, all right?
All right.
You want to talk to Brad?
Sure. Where is it? You'll find it. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? You staying?
Go ahead.
No, are you staying sick and not safe, or safe and not sick?
I'm trying. It's really hard. I'm bored.
Yeah, I get it.
How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Just trying to figure out how I keep work going through all this.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
It like really sickens me to think about just like how many people are. Just struggling, like, because for me it's like I don't know what I'm gonna do for school,
right?
Like, I have to go and do orientation and that's just like canceled, So they're talking about up until September. So just for, professors even
sure.
don't have a job.
Yep.
But for musicians, it hurts my soul.
Yeah.
To think about just how many people are struggling. So, yeah.
It's not but fun.
How do you like the album?
I fucking love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty psyched about
that's
it.
That's all my dad has been listening to, so I pretty much know all the songs already.
Yeah, and we're about to argue about one of the songs.
Ooh.
So this is going to get interesting.
What song is it?
River Cross.
Okay. I'll go listen to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if your dad doesn't like it, you probably won't like it, but
okay.
I love it.
Well, I'll go listen to it.
Okay.
So you like it and he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like it? It's horrible? Okay, like you like Pearl Jam as if I like Taylor Swift.
Yes.
And there is one song out of all of her songs that I just cannot stand.
There you go. What
but
is it?
It's one, like early on.
No.
So how can you just hate like a new song? Like everything that she releases that's new, I'm just like, this is golden. So how can you
I feel about the other 11 songs.
But like anything that she sings that's new, I'm just like, this is golden. So how can you just hate something that's new?
I don't like. Go listen to it and then come back and let me know.
But it'll be different for me because.
Like,
but slow songs are the best songs.
He's being unreasonable, Amanda.
I can't even.
Are the lyrics good?
Lyrics are fucking great.
Lyrics make the song.
If you do listen to the song, you need to listen to it and read the lyrics along with it.
Definitely.
That's my suggestion.
Well, I'll do it.
All right.
This says Ed has an old pump organ from the 1850s.
Oh my God! You need to get him back on here so
like
we can fight.
You sound like a teenager that's on TikTok that needs to be.
It's so true.
Okay. For real. Like, he's on his phone more than I am. It's unreal. But I'll let you get back to it. I'm sorry.
It's good to talk to you.
You too. Bye.
All
right.
Gloves off, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say anything before we listen?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I fucking love this song. Oh, God. Keep your sighs to yourself.
I don't like this pump organ. I don't like the drums. I don't like the way he's singing, the lyrics, the melody. Across that river, the other side, distant now. I got close, it turned and widened. Horizon now, fading now. Drifting off in the undertow, can't spot a figure on dry land. And afterthoughts of safety, when in truth none to be.
Love it. It sounds like they're using, he's just breathing as a, almost like a percussion instrument, doing like a.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I do like these lyrics.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to tell time by my shadow till the thunder clouds took the stage. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Still waiting on the sun as the hours seem to multiply. Find a star to soldier on. Whoa.
These next two verses are fucking so good.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I hate that I don't like the song because I can feel the passion in Eddie's voice. I don't like the way he's singing it. That's and fair. I know a lot of people, like you just said, like, and Janan loves this song, and I feel bad.
That's cool.
A wasted night to lengthen our time. I wish this moment was never handed.
Oh my God, those lyrics.
Futures die while the government thrives on discontent, and there's no such thing as clear. Proselytizing and prophesizing as I will all but disappears. Folded over, forced in a chokehold, outnumbered and held down. And all these talk of
I mean, it sounds like he's trying not to cry while he's singing this.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally.
Woo!
Won't hold us down. Won't hold us down. Live it out. Let it out. Get it out. Shout it out. Won't hold us down.
I mean, can you imagine the whole crowd singing this at whenever we get to see them? Come on. That's going to be chills, dude.
Oh, yeah. I'll be into it. Then.
Hey, that's what it takes sometimes, man. I've had songs with Pearl Jam and other bands that I didn't like on the record, and then I saw it live and was like, oh, I get it now. And then I loved the song.
Oh, yeah. But that's happened to me. I'm not going to sit there with my arms crossed.
Yeah, totally.
Be one of those people. But I... Oh, man. I
like, it doesn't surprise me... Oh, God. It doesn't surprise me that you don't love the song. But you don't like it.
I really don't. Like, I hate to be that guy.
Well, I like that you're being honest.
There's something about that the pump organ and the just real stark drum notes in the beginning. I can't put my finger on it, but I do not. I just don't like it, and I hate to be like that.
It reminds me of Peter Gabriel's Secret World Live. There's something about it that's very, I don't know, it just reminds me of that, the way it all works together and the almost like orchestral Manu Katché Tom work with tons of reverb. It just sounds like a track off of that Peter Gabriel Live record, but Eddie's singing instead or something, which I think is really cool. But I mean, to me, this song is one of those moments where Eddie's going, what I feel from it is him saying, okay, I want you to listen to me on this one. You know what I mean? It's just my vocal and a pump organ and some drums. I mean, there's other stuff too, obviously, but the crux of it is that.
I've tried. And maybe I'll get there one day, but I don't know. I feel like I don't ever need to listen to that song again.
Oh,
God. It just bothers me.
It makes me sick to my stomach to hear you say that.
Sorry.
I'm having actual physical visceral reactions to this.
Yeah. Well, I love Buckle Up. So if people out there hate Buckle Up,
I would rather you hate Buckle Up and at least like this song a little bit. Then, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I was glad with the surprise on Buckle Up. Don't get me wrong, but
right.
I just thought,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I love it when we end our episodes with a sigh. Yeah. No, all right. I mean, but as a whole, this record is fucking really good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. As a whole, I fucking love it. I really do.
Yeah, I feel like it's... There was one review, and I'm not going to be able to look it up. Well, here, I think I can find it. It was just a line from a review about this record, and I remember feeling like... It really, I felt the same way. Hold on. I've got the page here. Let me find it. Where did the reviews go? Here we go. Okay. This review says, it's Pearl Jam's most incensed album since 2006. It's their most musically inventive album since 1998. And by virtue of its themes, it is their most gravely needed of their entire career. It is, in short, a triumph. That's how I feel. Especially the part where he says, and by virtue of its themes, it is their most gravely needed of their entire career.
I was going to say the same thing. That really... jumps out at me because they had no way of knowing this, but like at the time of this being released, with everything that's going on right now, you know, between the virus and Trump and the administration, and it's like, and people being like stuck in their houses and concerts being canceled, like I know I needed this. Like I can listen to this and really enjoy it, and then read some of these lyrics and really, you know, get into the lyrics and be like, I line up with what he's trying to say, especially at this moment in our lives.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those you've talked about before in a live situation, that feeling of, oh my God, did you play this song for me? Mm-hmm. I know there's 20,000 people here at this venue, but did you play this for me? This whole record feels like that for me. It feels like he knew where I am in my life and how it just fits so perfectly with trying to process the way everything is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you can't, like you were saying, you can't make that happen. You can't, it's all kind of happenstance, but at the same time, I want to say that I feel like Eddie's always been just ahead of the curve on things, right? And I don't mean that people weren't talking about women's rights and equality in 1991, but it's a different ballgame now than it is then, right? For example, like he is always talking about that, right? We've talked about like the 1991 bootlegs that we have where he talks about that kind of stuff. And as you move along down the timeline with things that he cares about or speaks out about, it's, and I don't mean he's prophetic either. I just mean he's obviously very aware and thinks a lot and processes a lot, not just his own life or maybe the people around him, but just kind of human beings as a whole, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this record fits the themes on it, or the way I take the themes to be meant from him, I can easily kind of map onto what's happening in the world around me right now, which makes things a lot easier for me.
Yeah. Well, and I meant to mention this before, we got a ton of emails this week.
Yeah.
I wish we could read them all on the show.
Yeah.
But we do read them all. And a lot of people brought up the fact like, oh, I really needed this album right now, you know? So I know that people are feeling that way out there.
Yeah, man.
It's interesting. It's just weird. What is it called? Happenstance or, I don't know,
serendipity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's perfect, man. I'm really thankful for this record, not just as because of what we were just talking about, but just as a Pearl Jam fan, because this is also, right. You know, and I took that quote from that review to mean everything that we just talked about, but he also could have just been talking about when he says it was the most gravely needed. I know he says by virtue of the theme, so he's talking about that, but the other way it's needed in a way is that, I don't know, they either they're at that point in their career and ages where it's like, okay, how much longer is this going to be going on, you know? And you can kind of tell that by how good the records are when they're coming out. And I liked, like, I still like Lightning Bolt. If I did my top 10, it would be in a different space now, for sure, even without Gigaton. Yeah. But Gigaton, to me, represents some... It's either a last burst of energy from this band, or it means, like, no, we've still got our shit together. We still know what we're doing. We're still making music as a band and finding new ways to do it, which, on the positive side of that guess, is... well, hopefully this means they're in for, they've got more gas in the tank for a little bit longer because of this record.
Well, I think it was Ron talking about in the email about the, there might be another album coming. I keep seeing
that. I can't think about that.
We got a couple emails touching on that. I mean, that's my favorite conspiracy right now. Not the, you know, the virus was made in a army lab.
Right.
You know, that there's the conspiracy that there's another album coming soon because the logo is, you know what, it's not a heart logo, it's lungs.
Oh, okay.
But you know, there's half a lung, so we got the other half coming, and the side, I think side A on the CD is just a joke.
What do you mean?
The CD says side A on it, and people take that to mean, oh, well, side B must be coming. And I'm like, no, it's just a silly, like, joke. I don't know how to say it. It's not, like, super funny, but it's just like, you know, albums have side A's, and so the CD, this is side A. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's just, they're just being goofy.
I do think it's kind of weird, though. It's kind of a weird thing to put on there. Yeah. You know? That's what I'm saying. I can't think about this stuff because in my mind, I'll turn it into, yes, they're definitely, this is going to be a double album of some sort. Brother and sister.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming. Yeah.
And then it won't happen because it probably won't.
Well, there's another part of the conspiracy is there was, I don't remember where it is, but one of the band members said, like, it might've been Josh Evans said they like fully produced like 30 songs.
Right.
And then picked these 12. So that means there's, 16 other songs or 18 other songs out there, you know?
And, yeah.
You know? So, anyway.
We'll see what happens. But until then, I'm super thankful for this group of 12 songs.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I'm not saying this sounds anything like No Code, but I don't think I felt this excited about a brand new album since No Code came out, because No Code, again, that whole thing that I was saying about like a dog when it hears a dog whistle and its ear goes up, like, whoa, what is this? That's how I felt when No Code came out. Like, this is so different than those first three albums. And that's how Gigaton sounds to me. It's so like each song is just so different from what we've normally heard. And there's a couple, like Never Destination and even Comes and Goes sounds like, you know, it's a classic Eddie acoustic song. But there's some weird shit on this album, Buckle Up and Dance, you know, that are not like anything we've heard before from this band. And that's how I felt listening to No Code. Which is my favorite album. So I'm psyched. I love this album because of that.
Yeah. And I hope that there's enough positive reaction from both their fans and that they feel themselves to keep that up, you know, to try some new shit like they did on this record. So hopefully we'll hear more of that down the road.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get out of here, motherfucker.
All right, dude.
That was fun. Although I'm crushingly disappointed in certain areas, but we can deal with that later.
Were you recording with Amanda? You should put some of that in.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Anytime she's upset or frustrated with me is always a good time.
Yeah. Well, man, you stay clean.
Yeah.
All right. You stay clean, Brad B.
All right. Yeah. Clean and sober.
Yeah. All right. Until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek, saying, like you, I keep it in.
I like it.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.